Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Chop Sports Daily right here on the Chop Sports Podcast Network. Thank you for joining us. Of course, Sturch and Gooch. And Gooch is coming to you live from the Flipping Made Easy studio in Matawan, New Jersey. And, of course, I'm coming to you live from the Dave Cave here in my town, undisclosed location, which is, you know, like I'm as if like I'm like the ultimate warrior all of a sudden, like where I'm just like parts unknown. That's where I'm coming from today, but that's where I'm at for the remainder of this week. It's been a week already. There's so much news to cover. There's so many things going on in the world of sports. We are literally rocking and rolling with the NBA, the NHL. We're in the offseason of Major League Baseball. The NFL is obviously going into its 10th week of action already, which is kind of, I don't know about you, Gooch, but it's like kind of depressing because it's like you feel like football's almost over already, you know?
It is depressing because of that reason, but I like the second half of the NFL season because it's the real NFL season when the weather changes and we're going to start to see our first snow game and things like that. Where playoff football is kind of underway already in some cases. A lot of teams are desperate. There's some good football coming, baby. I'm excited.
There's a lot of cool things going on with the network. If you're listening to us right now, be sure to Wednesdays we drop a lot of stuff. I know the Packers Pulse is coming by this afternoon. It'll be dropped. My podcast, All About the Star for the Dallas Cowboys, will be dropping or dropped already. The Goddamn Jets is available on iTunes right now. If you're listening to them on Spotify, I'll fix that. There's something going on with them. I think it's a Spotify thing. Other than that, then of course, Chart Choppers, which will be taking a little bit of a brief hiatus. They did drop an episode today. John Sapanaro did his third podcast of the week for the Chop Sports Network. He's the guest on Chart Choppers this week. So go support the network. We're getting a lot of cool feedback. A lot of supporters out there like what we're doing. So we're glad that you're joining us every day at 11 o'clock. Whether this time slot changes at some point, you know, to kind of get better viewership or more viewership, maybe we'll address that. Me and Gooch just had a nice little pre-production meeting. A lot of cool things happening at Chop Sports. But we have to start with something that started last night. College basketball is back, baby. And this is something that I've typically not gone on board with until March. I'm that guy that like, oh, fill out your bracket. Oh, this team's going to beat that team. Because why? I have no idea. I'm just going to take a shot in the dark. So I don't really get into college basketball. But this year, there's something very, very important that you guys all have to follow as the season progresses. Last year, there was obviously a tournament to be played. Thank God. You know, we went 2020 without a tournament. 2021's tournament was great. It was fantastic. But it also came with a price. And we're talking about the sauce. Kyle Kerms, who is our resident gambler here. He is our resident bookmaker. Not bookmaker. I don't want to put him in jail. He's a resident, what do you call him? Handicapper? That's the
he's,
word,
he's
right?
Just a guy that, yeah, he's involved with the network, a friend of the network, and we're going to get right to it. Everybody that's watching knows who the sauce is by now. He's a world-famous handicapper, people, and I hate to do this to you, but
you have to.
Dave, I'm going to let you do the honors.
I'll do the honors. Ladies so we don't double-click here. The college known as Oral Roberts won a basketball game won the basketball game, right? Or that's why he did what he did.
Yeah, they beat Florida. So
they beat Florida, and there it is. That is an Oral Roberts tattoo, and it says that on the screen, Oral Roberts tattoo. Now, you're probably wondering, gee, who is that? Well, that is Kyle Kerms, and that is his actual tattoo. And now going forward, because of this tattoo that is presently on his ass cheek,
I think that's right where his ass meets his back, where it kind of blends together.
That's basically where the quote tramp stamp would go.
I think it's a little lower than that. I think you have to actually drop drawers to see this tattoo. And I'm not saying that I've been there and done that, but say hi to Kyle, everybody.
He's going to join us. Say hello to Kyle. This is Kyle. This is actual live, not live footage, but it was an actual photo taken as he's bent over. He's bent over getting this tattoo of Oral Roberts. So now going forward for the 2021 into 22 season, he will be fading Oral Roberts every game blindly, meaning no matter what the spread is, no matter who they're playing, he ain't betting Oral Roberts because of what they did to his body.
I mean, and not only that, he's betting against them, and he's officially 1-0 on the season because Oral Roberts was getting 12 to Colorado State, and I don't know the final score, but I know that they ended up losing that game by more than 12. So Kyle 1-0 on the Oral Roberts fade.
So congratulations to Kyle for winning his bet. That's great. But also congratulations to his body, who has to look at itself every day with an Oral Roberts tattoo. But the bigger game, the primetime game last night, Coach K is coaching in his final season at Duke. You're going to hear a lot more of college basketball and the NBA talk tomorrow when Scoop gets in studio and he records his first episode of the Cross Court Cast with his cousin Vinny. That's not a play on words. It's his actual cousin Vinny. But last night, Duke gets on primetime. They take out Kentucky. Now, the big story here is, obviously, which I just said, Coach K, last year, final season. Chris, I know you're a massive Coach K guy, right?
He's in the top five of my most hated people in sports. I think Coach K is the most overrated. He's like the Urban Meyer of college basketball to me, and they just haven't figured it out yet. That's my equation. That's what I equate Coach K to. Just this, even you asked me before, and we're going to get right into it, because this is a typical move by a guy like Coach K, where he names his predecessor public, or his successor publicly before leaving. Look, you want to give the AD a little, you know, bend his ear and be like, you know, I think we got this guy here. We brought him along. He's the next in line. I just don't like it. I don't like him doing that. I think there's other guys that have their eyes on that job for a long time, and it's just not a fair shake for the rest of the coaches out there.
Do they have a Rooney rule in college basketball?
No, they definitely don't, but I would imagine that. I don't know. See, I don't even know who the candidate that they're talking about is.
Couldn't tell.
But without getting into the race relations, but if they do not at least if they don't at least attempt to make it look like they're going to hire a black candidate, will there be blowback on that? Probably not, because it's Duke and they kind of just brush everything under the rug when it involves Duke. But
I mean, shout out to the lacrosse team. Yeah, got away.
Fuck Coach K. Good riddance to Coach K. I can't wait until this season's over so he could be done for good. And I'm imagining we're probably going to have to hear him talking on ESPN or something like annoying like that. So we probably won't be done with Coach K. I don't know. I can't imagine him not being in the spotlight because he's an attention whore.
There's no rumors to him ever coaching in the NBA at the NBA level.
I've never heard any rumors. I wouldn't if I was him, because why? You know, you got the best coach. You got the best job in college basketball, arguably, at Duke.
Oh, correct going me to if the I'm NBA, wrong. I mean,
it only hurt his legacy.
I'm not the connoisseur. I'm not the college basketball guru here, but Duke has not been Duke in the last couple of years, right? I mean, they're actually losing games. Like, there's that, you know, like, I guess the recruiting class just kind of fell off.
No, they get great recruits still. Duke is still Duke. It's just college basketball is a little bit different with the landscape. I think a lot of the mid-majors, the guys that are able to recruit solid players that play for 4 or 5 years, I think you're starting to see those teams become a lot more successful now.
I was going to say a scoop coming in with Duke definitely has a neon from Blue Chips on their team every year, getting cars and shit. Well, now here's the thing. That's all allowed, you know, that now you can do whatever you want. So now the college basketball, football, all college sports, the landscape has completely changed considering the NIL agreement that's in place since July 1st. But what a great movie. Have you ever seen Blue Chips, bro?
Of course. It's been a while. But
it has been a while. You know, it's so funny.
Don't ask me to quote Blue Chips or anything like that, Dave.
No, I won't. Actually, it's funny that you mentioned Blue Chips, because somebody, Jesse Holly, former Dallas Cowboy receiver / Union High School / Grasso guy, right? He said something about it, and he put a meme or a gif on Twitter, and I replied like Tony Flunk TV, and like he got a kick out of it because he's like, damn man, I didn't think anybody was gonna get my Blue Chips reference. What a great film. But yeah, so college basketball back, Duke is back. Again, that will be covered more extensively by the Cross Court Cast, debuting or at least recording tomorrow, hopefully to drop on Friday for another podcast on the network. And yeah, so that's college basketball in a nutshell right off the rip. So once again, there's no easy segue for this because it's just trash. To me, it's trash. But there is another celebrity. Or can you call this a celebrity boxing? This is going to be fought on the what? What card is this going on?
This is going to be, I believe, on the undercard of
the next Paul fight.
I really don't know. I know that they announced something on the undercard of the Jake Paul fight, but it might not be this. Either way, this is enough for me to tune in. I'm not going to pay for it, but I'm definitely going to find this on the dark web.
You're going to get on the dark web here as Deron Williams or Darren Williams? Is it?
Honestly, you asked me before, and I was positive that it was Darren Williams, and yeah, it's on the Jake Paul card, Kyle's saying. So yes, Jake Paul card. I was positive that it was Darren Williams. Now you're saying Deron Williams. I think that we're both just old and out of touch, and I forget. But You know who's also old and out of touch?
Enunciate it on the chat.
Frank Gore. I know Darren Williams has been training MMA for a while. He's been heavily involved in combat sports. Even during his NBA career, he was training MMA. I know he's never boxed professionally. I don't think that Frank Gore is good at boxing. I think that he's good at taking blows to the head. You know, he's got like a clear path to CTE. If the NFL running back position for 20 years wasn't enough, he's going to go out there and take punches from a guy that, make no mistake about it, Frank Gore is an NFL player. He's a big, you know, athletic guy, but you're going to see the difference between what like an NBA player is. Like Darren Williams is a big guy. He's 6'3". He's a heavier. I don't know how they're going to weigh this in and what weight class is going to be in, but
Frank Gore is built like an ox, bro. There's no way they weigh the same.
I know that Kyle was talking a lot of shit about this fight. He's saying, please don't embarrass boxing by going and purchasing this fight. And if you do, go out there and buy the whatever fight's coming in 3 weeks. I don't want to quote him and be wrong, but look, you don't have, this is a beautiful day in America. You do not have to spend money to go on to the dark web and watch these two guys beat the shit out of each other. And then honestly laugh off the whole Jake Paul situation.
I mean, Jake Paul's now, he's lined up to actually fight a real boxer though, right? Like That's a thing. So that's cool.
Real boxer.
Whatever. A former, like an actual guy has some fights under his belt.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively. Kyle, I hope you're not just joining us because, man, we opened with you, my friend. You know what I mean? Like we opened with you. He was chiming in and it's Darun Williams. He's got R-U-N. Darun? Jesus Christ. I mean, we were way
wrong. Williams. I don't even know. I think we're all off.
Oh, man. Anyway, so Darun, whoever, doesn't matter. Former Nets player, Mr. Williams, will be taking on Frank Gore. Jack brings up a decent point. Frank Gore, Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Yeah, right? I mean, you would have to think.
Absolutely.
He definitely has the stats and the longevity, all the criteria to meet a Hall of Fame running back. If I'm not mistaken, well, he's not really active. I guess considering he hasn't retired. You know, he's still actively the leader in rushing right now, like the only active player, but he's a free agent, right? I mean, so that
does
that
count? He's not active at all.
But I'm saying, does that count towards, like, he hasn't said, like, I'm retiring.
He's not playing an NFL game this year. He's not on a roster. He's not active.
Yeah. Oh, good call with this. You should add this to the card. The Joker and Morris should be on the card. The best part about, Joker wants no part of Morris Brothers. I'm like, yo, Google Serbia and get back to me.
Yeah, there's... Those dudes don't play around. We all saw, I don't know if we all saw it, but I saw it last year in the playoffs. I talked about it. That guy, that family, nah, I'm good. Dude, definitely not going to come up missing in Eastern Europe.
Do you agree? You ever see Eurotrip, by the way? We have one in Eastern Europe.
Across the hall.
Bratislava. But what I'm curious to know your thoughts about this. They suspended Joker and they did not suspend Morris. They fined him $50,000. And then they fined Butler, I believe, like 12 G's or something like that for getting involved. But they also, I was trying to explain this. It looks like they also fined you $30,000 for not addressing the media on this. Like, all you have to do is do the Marshawn Lynch, man. You know what I mean? Like, I'll just sit here and say no comment, or I'm just here so I won't get fined. You know, that's all you have to do, really. But to not comment on all this, that's kind of Bush League and kind of just showing you that he's got a lot of FU money.
This is the Joker?
Whoever. I think it was Butler. I don't know. Butler, they find somebody. Well,
either way, I'm not really concerned about that. They should have fined Tyler Herro for being within 1 foot, like acting like he was about to do something and then completely walking in the other direction. Like he was right there. If there was anybody going to do anything, it would have been him. And he walks around like a tough guy. Clearly he's outmatched in that one. But look, the reason why the Joker got the suspension was because at least Markieff or Morris's thing that was done in the field of play, we'll call it, because you can't really say court.
They called it a flagrant.
Yeah, it was a foul that was a basketball play. Now, there was no room for that in basketball, but it was at least like within the confines of the game. After the whistle blew, you know, he definitely laid into him. He could have gotten his point across a little bit differently. I'm not calling out the Joker for hitting him in the back, because I would have done the exact same thing. If you lay me out or you make an attempt, definitely don't turn your back on me, because you don't know what I'm about that life or not. And clearly the yoker is about that life.
Jumped on his back and put him in a rear naked, like got the hooks in and everything, just completely MMA'd him to death. And you're just like, oh my God, how do you pry him off? You don't know what kind of switches these guys have, especially him. You know, like, yeah, he's the league MVP. He's one of the faces of the NBA, but.
And he said four words his entire career.
That's what I'm saying. He's at least let his playing, do the talking.
He's like the Fedor Emelianenko of the NBA.
Right, exactly.
Stoic. We'll call him Stoic.
But in any event, that celebrity boxing match goes down whenever the hell the Jake Paul fight is. I'm just so over this at this point. Like, where was there actual beef between these guys? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, between Gore and Williams, was there beef? Or they're just like, hey, here's two guys that are like the bang heads. Like, what is the point of this?
I don't think there's beef at all. I think it's an opportunity for both of them to make some money. They're both household names in their own right. Not necessarily anymore, but have been in their careers. Former superstars. Both with a willingness and a want and a desire to go fight. And why not fight each other? Makes sense.
I guess. There's no beef, according to Kyle Kerms, who is still tuning in to the show. But
there's very rarely ever beef with any of these situations. It's all a money grab. So,
I mean, look what happened the last time an NBA guy got into the ring. I still don't think Nate Robinson has woken up. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, exactly. It's basically them saying those idiots will watch this. They got him hook, line, and sinker when it comes to this shit. It's so bad, bro. It's so bad.
And by them, you mean us?
Yeah. Well,
I'm them.
I'm them. Right, exactly. It sucks because we're all just like, yes, we're all. That's the problem with Americans or anybody that lives in this country. We're all bloodthirsty, no matter what. That's why the UFC is so popular. That's why these celebrity.
It's not even just this country. It's every single human being on the planet.
It is the world we live in, and it's so disturbing how bloodthirsty everybody is. But again, it's entertainment. This is what people want. You know, they want the scuffles, they want the fights, they want the extracurriculars. They want, you know what, people would probably want that guy from Chicago who did the ninja kick and then the stare down. If he would have got blasted from behind from somebody, people would have went nuts for that. You know what I mean? Like, just completely like floored, because you don't show up my team like that from the sidelines, and then Tony Corrente would jump on and start punching too. You know what I mean? Like, so he likes to get involved. I forgot who brought it up. Oh, I think it was Hawaii Mike brought up the amount of penalties. If you, there was 16 to like 3. And then if you count like the decline penalty, it was like 22 times Tony Corrente was front and center with the Sunday Night Football.
Bro, and not only that, when he threw the flag, he left his hand up like he just hit a game-winning three at the buzzer.
He looked like Wesley Snipes. It's pretty.
Right? Imagine he turned to the camera and he threw up a sign and threw up gang signs at the camera and shit. It's like, damn, dude, chill.
Can you imagine if Tony Corrente not only does that, right, and he hits that last thing, and then he runs down to the end zone to celebrate? Right.
Like, yo. All the other refs jump over him and shit. It's fucking great. Great. You're taking over this game.
Yeah.
Right. Unbelievable.
That is unbelievably accurate, is what it is. Let's take a break. There's a lot to talk about in the football front. There's some news that's broke this morning. At least, you know, it's not the greatest stuff in the world. In fact, it's terrible, but it's stuff that we got to talk about. And of course, when we come back, we also got Odell Watch 2021. It's actually happening right now. There is a couple teams he is narrowing down right now. And that's exactly, Kyle, you bring it up, and we'll get to it right after the break, because now it's time to shop for Mr. Madison. So we'll find out right after the break.
You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it, they got it. Go see Craig and Janine right now.
Hey, Chop Sports family, it's Jimmy Palumbo here. I am doing a stand-up show on November 27th, Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend at 7:30 p.m. at the Carteret Performing Arts and Event Center with great comedian Mike Marino. Phone number 877-849-2722 for tickets. Again, 877-849-2722, November 27th, 7:30. Jimmy Palumbo and Mike Marino live from Carteret, Central New Jersey's in the house.
Got a massive dump truck right outside my house right now. And it's just like, this is exactly the time I needed all this stuff to be taken away. You know? Oh my God. It's like this is the downfall here of working from quote, working from home. But
I don't hear anything.
What?
I don't hear any dump truck.
That's a great thing because it was loud and obnoxious. Welcome back everybody to the show. The Chop Sports Daily coming to you live. Gooch is at the Flipping Made Easy studio in beautiful Matawan, New Jersey. And of course, I'm coming to you live from the Dave Cave and a big of Zeke behind me. I don't know if anybody could see that, but we're back.
His penis is lined up right in your ear, by the way.
His what?
His penis.
Love Zeke. Anyway, there's a lot of stuff. We're heavily OBJ favoring the Packers. Yeah, so we'll get into that. But first and foremost, we got to get into this. Dalvin Cook is in the news, not in a good way at all. I think he tried to get ahead of it with his agent and say, listen, you know, in the coming days, there's going to be some extortion. There's going to be somebody trying to ruin my career, blah, blah, blah. Kind of the same way that, you know, the Ezekiel Elliott thing went down where there was text messages literally sent to the prosecutors and saying like, there's literally like quotes, like, let's go get him. You know, let's go get it. Let's ruin his career. I don't know if Dalvin Cook's trying to get ahead of this. However, you know, the girlfriend or the fiance, whoever she is, the victim in this entire thing, supposedly the victim, is alleging Dalvin Cook of just beating the piss out of her. And we've seen pictures and she's dropped pictures to specific news outlets. It's not good. It's disgusting. I'm not even going to,
we're not going to bring up the picture because
that's no. It's too disturbing. But I will say this, in a league where you've heard nothing about, you know, you have to look at this this is the unfortunate part about this situation. You look at Dalvin Cook and you're not looking at him as a personal standpoint. You look at him now as a, what are the Vikings going to do?
What am I going to do if I own Dalvin Cook in fantasy football?
Right. Fantasy implications, gambling implications. There's a lot of things that go on, and that's unfortunate, but this is what you got to talk about. But now Dalvin Cook is in the same situation now that Zeke found himself in 2016. The knee-jerk reaction for this crooked convict of a commissioner, Roger Goodell, was to suspend Zeke for 6 games without any kind of court hearing or anything. Just you're giving the Shield a bad name and a bad look, you're gone.
Now, this isn't the first time the league has heard about this. I would imagine the league has been very aware of what's been going on with Dalvin Cook. So I wouldn't say that there's any suspension imminent. I know that it's definitely a black eye, no pun intended, on the league right now. But considering like the Henry Ruggs situation, the Dalvin Cook situation, don't expect the Aaron Rodgers situation to go away anytime soon, because they would much rather talk about the COVID and Aaron Rodgers and having him be the fall guy and having the media attack him in that regard. You notice how the media is not coming at the NFL about how they turned a blind eye to all the protocol violations until things actually came about. Like Aaron Rodgers wasn't vaccinated before he caught COVID. You didn't hear anything about his pressers with no mask up until he was positive for COVID. So the NFL, nobody's talking about that. But what they will do is they will control and finesse the media to go where they want. Dalvin Cook, this should be the big story. This should be the big story. Obviously, the NFL had the perfect timing with the Rodgers situation to blow the Henry Ruggs situation under the rug. The Damon Arnett situation. There's a much larger issue in the NFL right now that more so than the vaccine situation, I would say. And this is highlighting the whole mess. Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, to me, this should be topics number 1, 2, and 3. You know what I mean? Like, enough is enough with the Aaron Rodgers thing. Y'all knew that.
If you read the details of this situation where it was allegedly what he's saying is that she broke into the house. He said she broke into the house and fought two of the people that were there. That I could believe. I could believe that she was an enraged girlfriend. Maybe he was doing something with other females. She broke in. Now, this is all me speculating. Correct. But at that point, she's wrong for that. If you beat her ass thereafter and then don't let her leave, now you're wrong. Either way, the pictures that I saw, it was pretty bad. So if he in fact did that, I don't care what happened prior to that, you know, he's in trouble. But I don't think this is a legal issue at all. I think this is just civil. So
could the league do legal? I mean, it's definitely gonna turn into a legal situation.
As of now, it's just a civil case. But yeah, I don't know.
So my theory is this: Dalvin Cook will not leave the field of play at all in 2021 until it, like, not from the NFL standpoint. If the Vikings want to go out and say, look, dude, you know, what you did or what's going on right now is giving us a very bad look. We're going to sit you until this gets resolved, sort of a la Houston Texans with Deshaun Watson. You can do that. But the Vikings currently, technically, not mathematically eliminated from their season. So all of a sudden, you have that.
I don't anticipate that happening in Minnesota. I don't know them to be that type of team where they're going to get their teams back. They're going to get their players back until more information is out. I'm sure they did their own little investigation. There could be a lot of truth to what he's saying. There could be some truth to what she's saying, but the damning thing that I saw was the photos of him, of her after he beat her up.
Did you see the screenshot conversation?
I did not.
Okay. That's something that I saw. And listen, Photoshop is a beautiful thing, okay? And I will not sit there and say, like, this is guaranteed truth because it came from a screenshot of a photo of a conversation, but it looked like it was going via... Here's where I kind of, like, there's no reason for this to be happening in a way. The conversation, according to the screenshot, was happening via Instagram direct messenger. Like, if that's your girlfriend, if that's your chick, you're not DMing her, you're not sliding into her DMs. Unless you blocked his number because of something that happened, you're texting, you're calling, you know? So that's where it makes me believe, like, what are we talking about here? But according to the DM conversation thread that she leaked out to the press, you know, it's literally saying the first words. This is another thing that's kind of throws me off. The first line out of it was him saying, like, you know, I know I messed up. I know I'm so sorry for what I did. Right. And all of a sudden he's like admitting to guilt the entire time. And then her response was, Dalvin, how am I going to go see my family on Thanksgiving this year after what you did to my face? Look at my fucking face. Like, I'm quoting like that to me. That's like, I mean, come on, you know, like, it's so hard to, you can't really make a judgment until all this stuff gets cleared and people start actually getting the real evidence. But man, oh man, like, if that's an actual conversation of an admission to guilt, I just don't find it. I find it very hard to believe that a player would put himself out there on social media direct messenger and say, like, hey, I'm sorry for beating the shit out of you. Can we get past this? And he also says at the end of this quote DM that he's willing to take the penalty that the police give him. That, to me, that's just like, what? Like, who does that in the right mind?
Now, if it is in fact Photoshopped, it's going to get chewed up in court. They're not going to be able to pass that for anything. I don't believe that it's Photoshopped. I think when you're sitting here talking about what athlete is stupid enough in their right mind, that's giving them way too much credit. And I'm not generalizing and saying athletes are stupid, but typically when we involve certain athletes and their ability to just get in trouble all the time. Now, Dalvin Cook, he's been walking the straight and narrow in terms of his public life. And he doesn't talk. Not many issues, but we don't know what goes on behind closed doors. And there's crimes of passion, we'll call them. And then desperation where he might be drunk and they could be in a conversation on a DM. Like, I don't typically DM with my girlfriend, right? But we send each other stuff and then kind of carry on a conversation there. So you don't know how the conversation started. I wouldn't dismiss the fact that it being real based on the fact that it wasn't a legitimate text. If it is real, Dalvin Cook is in trouble. Not just this year, next year. So if you're a dynasty owner of Dalvin Cook, you might be looking at keeping Alexander Mattison over Dalvin Cook instead.
Look at Scoop Espo making a suggestion to all fantasy teams and leagues that there should be a domestic violence slot instead of the IR slot. And, you know, funny, yes, hilarious, yeah, fine. But, like, it's so true. You know what I mean? Like, it's just gotta... They got to stop, man. They got to know their place in the world.
I also think it's
women. I'm talking
it's
about
worth noting. It's worth noting in this situation as well that She is an Army veteran, I believe.
Yes.
She's not just some, and I'm not saying that just because you're in the Army, you're some upstanding citizen either. She could still be lying, but I think that will help her in that she's not some gold digger. Like, it's a situation where she has at least some credibility, we'll call it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, we can't spend too much longer on this because it's just like nobody knows anything. The facts are not clear. As it trickles out and as news breaks, we'll break it for you. But as of right now, Dalvin Cook's in the news. It's not good. And the NFL may or may not step in. We don't know yet because the NFL has not stepped in with Deshaun Watson. So chances are they won't be stepping into this. Maybe the Vikings tell the NFL, we got it under control. We're going to figure this out, blah, 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 and use that verbiage. But again, I feel like at minimum, 6 games. Sorry, Dalvin. That's just the way it goes. But moving on to Odell Watch 2021. Odell is officially a free agent. He clears waivers because nobody wants his bitch ass for that price tag, at least. $7.25 million was the price tag. Gooch is the graphics guy over here. He decided to use Odell Beckham Jr. in a Green Bay Packers uniform. He prioritizes the Packers, and now I'm hearing about the Chiefs, and I'm also hearing about the Seattle Seahawks. When you look at these three destinations, right, the only team that has an actual winning record right now, or at least a commanding winning record, the Chiefs are over 500, are the Packers. If he's looking to go to the championship, or at least the NFC title game, and maybe the Super Bowl, the Packers would probably be the place to go. Where is Odell Beckham going, Gooch? You're on the spot. Gun to your head. Where is he signing?
Patriots.
Whoa.
I have a gun to my head. I think the Patriots are going to be the last team that he talks to regardless, because I think what the Patriots did initially was just say, look, before you sign, wherever we're interested, let us know what everyone else is offering, and we'll come in above that. I think that's what the Patriots are going to do. If he signs with Green Bay, he's going to have to want to go to Green Bay because they're not going to give him as much money as I think one of the other teams will. And I don't think the Seahawks are as much involved anymore. I think the Saints have kind of bumped them out as far as the top three teams that he might be joining. I don't know that he's going to want to go there and catch passes from Trevor Siemian. So maybe that's a little bit of
that's
fluff.
Where I'm at. That's where I'm at with this decision that he has to make. And obviously, you know, I don't like the fact that he's got all the power in the world. He's going to have 8 envelopes in front of him. Like, which one do I want to pick? That's garbage to me. But I will say this. If he wants to go to a contender this year, the places to be out of those three teams that he's prioritizing is Green Bay and Kansas City. Because I think Kansas City, if you add, can you imagine, if you add this kid to Mahomes and company, that's just, it's a scary thought. I still stand by the fact that I think that Odell Beckham is kind of not Odell Beckham anymore. I don't think he's got that mentality. Like, I think he's probably a three.
But that's the reason why I kind of would get on board with the fact that Odell coming on board, because we're not asking him to go out there and be Devontae Adams. We're asking him to go out there and be a compliment to what we already have. He's not going into a situation. I think the Saints are a bad fit because it's like a replacement for a guy that they expected to get back in Michael Thomas. I think Odell's got to go in there and be a role player in a veteran locker room. Not that the Saints don't have a veteran locker room, but I think more so in a receiver room with a Tyreek Hill and then like a Travis Kelce. I know he's a tight end, but same room. Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb. I think it's either the Chiefs or the Packers. But then if it's a money thing, I think he goes to the Patriots. I think the Patriots will give him the most. I think that the Patriots will potentially sign him through next season or after. I'm not sure Odell wants to really go past this season. I think he'd rather test the market in the offseason and see what he's worth. Go in there, ring hunt in the final 11 games here. But as a Packer fan, you know I've been on the fence. I'm not an Odell Beckham fan, not one bit. I haven't been. I don't want to find myself in a position where I'm talking good about Odell right now because I'm hoping that the Packers sign him, and then they don't sign him, and then I go back and start hating on him again. So I'll just keep it completely consistent with the way I've always talked about the Packers and what they need to do. I think with the locker room that we have, there's enough veteran presence, enough leadership where he could come in and not really be there long enough to cause a stir. If you look around Cleveland, the players were largely on Team Odell. I don't think that the players were really having any issues with Beckham outside of the quarterback. So I don't think that he's going to come in and be a cancer. I think long-term, front office, coaching staff, I think he could kind of ruffle some feathers. But for 11 games at what I think will be, I don't think it's going to be the veteran minimum. I think Odell is going to get more than that. His agents aren't going to be like 500 grand. We'll come there. No way. You're going to have to pony up a little bit, much like the Richard Sherman situation where they gave him 2.5 mil. I think you could look at Odell getting maybe about half that for the rest of the way. I'm all in on Odell coming to Green Bay for $1 million for 11 games to be a complimentary receiver. And look, if you're all in, you're all in. All in isn't like, oh, we're all in, but just not on him. I'm all in on it because if it does work out, I don't think it could hurt us one bit. It could only help.
Did I also hear you say 11 games? Are you just putting him in the Super Bowl or no?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like, well, there's definitely not 11 games left. But for playoff teams and potential Super Bowl bound teams, yes, there is 11 games left. Look, yesterday when he dropped, or at least when people read that he was, you know, if somebody claimed him that it was going to be like a shit, you know, I was going to stir some shit up. It's going to like, what are you like right then and there, right then in that context, in that phrase, if somebody that I don't want to be at signs me, I'm going to throw a bitch.
No,
fit.
I mean, like if I'm a team that if I'm a team that's actually interested in him, I'm like, word. Now there's a possibility because there was always the possibility that a team like Jacksonville or one of these other shit teams that had money stepped in and took on the deal because it's like, all right, maybe we'll sell some tickets. I think that it's a players league now in that regard where less in the NFL than any other sport. So when you see a player win, even though I don't like the player, I think it's good for the progression of the league. The players shouldn't be trapped into these contracts. And it's a bullshit technicality. If a team lets him go, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't sign with the Jaguars. So if the Jaguars claim him, I know it's the way it works, but it happens in every single sport. How many times do you see a guy get traded to a team in the NBA and then he gets bought out a day later because he's like, I'm not fucking going to Memphis, right? So then he becomes a free agent. The way it works for the player is they want to get bought out because – they get paid anyway, right? If you get released, you're going to get that signing bonus money, and then you could kind of renegotiate yourself. But
my only thing is now that you brought up the Patriots, like he's leaving Baker Mayfield and a young coach. You know what I mean? Like he's leaving that behind. He wants to go to a contender. Do you think he wants to go from Baker Mayfield to Mac Jones right now? Like why would that be the destination? If I'm a free agent and I have my between Mac Jones, Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes, I'm not picking Mac Jones. Like why?
Yeah, I'm not either. But at the same time, I might pick Bill Belichick if you want to just really, really get frustrated with how things are going in town. I could not imagine OBJ falling in line with the Patriot way. So maybe not the Patriots.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, obviously, it's something to watch. It's something today is more than likely going to be the you know, even if he signs today, tomorrow. I'm not sitting here saying that he's gonna play this Sunday. He's definitely not gonna do that. He needs to get acclimated. So the first time we see Odell Beckham in some new threads will more than likely be next Sunday. So whatever. Couple more things. Obviously, Kyle Kerms chiming in trying to change the topic because he doesn't want to talk about Odell Beckham anymore. Trae Young and the Hawks have lost 5 games in a row without injuries. Panic in Atlanta. The Knicks are in their head. I agree. And of course, the pick pitch coming in, Trey sucks.
So, I'm curious to know why the Knicks are in their head. Did the Knicks beat Atlanta at all in that 5-game losing streak, or was it Golden State? I feel pretty sure they're out west right now.
Well, it looks like the Knicks are on the docket tonight, by the way, to take on the Bucks, which they beat them already, right? So, wait, are they really playing the Bucks again? Didn't they just play them? I feel like that's just how
the NBA works.
Yeah,
they play back to back. I think the Lakers played the Hornets
like a home and home kind of deal, travel. Anyway,
I don't know, Dave. We're gonna have to check in with the resident NBA guy. Scoop's in the room.
Yeah, it's at MSG tonight in the Mecca. The last time the Mecca had any action, Colby Covington was robbed in the main event. But anyway,
oh stop.
But anyway, there is one more thing I wanted to bring up. A couple weeks back, in specific, about a month ago. We did some quarter-season awards, right? We were giving out what we thought was in line to be, the guys that are going to win these awards in the NFL. I won't break them all down, and we won't bring them all up, but are there any glaring deficiencies in what we said? I know I have one.
Trayvon Diggs is definitely not the defensive player of the year anymore.
No, it's not, and I agree with you with that one because, again, Trayvon Diggs, and there's been a lot of – you know, truth be told, I'm like knee deep all of a sudden in Cowboys media when I thought I was before. Now I definitely am. But I will say that there's a lot of the narrative right now is that Trayvon Diggs is now a boom or bust kind of guy. He'll either make the play on the ball or he'll give up the big play.
Bro, he's the Allen Iverson of cornerbacks, where he's going to lead the league in steals, but you know, you might blow by him once in a while and get the easy dunk.
It's a possibility. And I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm a realist. You know, like, there could be a thing where he could be picked on a double move. Tim Patrick.
He's also in year two. So
correct. And you know what? He's been dealing with an ankle and a back injury. So there's definitely things to be. So the defensive player of the year now that you're taking Trayvon Diggs out, because at the time he probably had, when we did this, he probably had 4 picks in 4 games, right? Now he's got 7 in 8 games. So it's slowed down. Like, obviously he's not getting a pick a game anymore. Where do you see that playing out? Do you have somebody that just jumped up the ranks as far as defensive player of the year? Are you going like default? Like, when I say default, like, everybody always goes to like Aaron Donald. You know what I mean? Like, it's,
I'm
like
not going to go default Aaron Donald. I might go default TJ Watt, but yes, it's tough right now. It's grouped up at the top with about 5 guys. And the one guy that I'm going to mention, and I know he's not going to win it, but he should be in the top 5 right now. And that's Devondre Campbell. I know that it's a homer pick, but bro, I think he's leading the NFL in solo tackles. He's got 2 picks, 2 fumble forced, 2 fumble recoveries. He's just been all over the field. And honestly, I think he's the second highest graded middle linebacker in the NFL right now.
Speaking of defensive player of the year candidates, somebody with a really, really awesome, might be the greatest first name of all time, but spelled differently, Myles Garrett. Cleveland secondary is awful due to single-handedly winning the games for this defense. I agree. He's got, you know, Myles Garrett is something special, and I don't have to like him personally after what he did to Mason.
Yeah, I'm not gonna argue that either at all. Myles Garrett, I would say he's gonna get a couple in his career. Why not this year?
Yeah. But you brought up T.J. Watt. I'm on the T.J. Watt train. All right. So if you had to, I believe I'm the one who said Sean McDermott is my coach of the year with the Bills. That's starting to fade a little bit as well.
He's actually a shitty coach. I think
the Bills are reeling. The Bills are absolutely reeling. Just happy you named your kid after Miles Jack. I did not name my son after Miles Jack, star linebacker of the Jacksonville Jaguars, or at least he was. Is he still there? I don't even know. They've traded off every asset they had. So anyway, Sean McDermott, no longer the coach of the year. Hear me out, Gooch. Hear me out. Mike McCarthy. Now, I know it sounds ridiculous, and you have to go to the records. You have to. I know. You're going to fall off the chair. You have to go to the records, right? The only thing I could say bad about Mike McCarthy is that he literally doesn't know what to do with timeouts. It's almost like Ricky Bobby when he's like, I don't know what to do with my hands. You know, I don't know what to do with these timeouts. But technically, the Dallas Cowboys are playing above what people might have thought they were going to play. It looks like Jack is chiming in saying Jim Harbaugh should be the guy in the conversation with all the injuries that they're dealing with. And that's
look, you have to be a good coach to win coach of the year. I think the Cowboys are a very talented team. You want to give Jerry Jones an apple because he built a good team to a degree. You could do that, but Mike McCarthy, man, this team is going to win in spite of him and lose because of him when it comes down to it.
Okay. What about Mike Vrabel? Mike Vrabel.
I'd say it's between Mike Vrabel and Kingsbury right now. Look, even what Arizona just did this past weekend with no Kyler Murray, no DeAndre Hopkins, and they went and destroyed San Francisco. The only loss that they have is against an Aaron Rodgers quarterback Packer team that they could have won that game without a crazy play at the end, even though they did get dominated. But right now, it's got to be Kingsbury.
Can I throw out an obscure name that you would probably never think I would ever say?
LaFleur?
No. Well, for record purposes, yeah, he could be in the conversation. But like, when I look at coach of the year, you have to do a lot with a little, right? I think there's a conversation to be had about Bill Belichick.
Oh, of course, bro. When it comes down to it, well, we have to revisit this after the real football season ends, because what we're about to get is Patriots season. We're going to get Steelers season. We're going to get Packers season. All these teams that are traditionally good in the second half, they're going to be good again in the second half. I want to see what Buffalo's like at home in the second half. There's a lot of things that change about the NFL, and guarantee you that it's going to be one of the toughest places to play is going to be in New England in November, December, obviously. Great. So Bill Belichick is definitely on his way to another 10-win season, but just with the turnaround with Arizona, I don't think it's going to go to anybody but him. They would have to have an epic, epic collapse
Do you by any chance remember who you picked for MVP? Did you pick Aaron Rodgers?
I picked Kyler Murray.
You pick Kyler Murray to be MVP. You stand by that.
Honestly, probably Lamar at this point.
I was just going to say that as well. Lamar Jackson, to me, is somebody that's doing it with a lot less than what everybody else is doing it with. His receiving core, I'm sorry, no matter who you add over there, it's still the Lamar Jackson show, and that team is rolling right now. And no matter how they do it, like, they're not blowing the doors off teams. They're coming back on teams. You know, they're staying resilient. That's, it goes back to talking about Harbaugh being coach of the year. Like, it's definitely a conversation to be had about Lamar Jackson winning now, another MVP.
I have a question for you. Do you think that Rodgers not playing? Like, I think Rodgers is firmly entrenched in the MVP race. I'll say that first.
He is.
Second, do you think him not playing this week in some ways helps his case for winning MVP? Because it just highlights the fact of how actually valuable he is to that team.
Now, I'll say this. We all know that there's no actual – this isn't like a fan vote. This isn't the Pro Bowl. You know what I mean? Yeah. This is the NFL people voting for an award. How Aaron Rodgers is handling this COVID shit is going to hinder his ability to win MVP in this year in specific. I don't care if he throws 50 touchdown passes and he misses two games, right? Like, it doesn't matter to me. I think because of the fact that people are starting to not like what Aaron Rodgers is doing.
Winning in football does funny things to people's opinions of you, right? So if Aaron Rodgers goes out there and he just – They rattle. Say the Packers are finished with two losses and Aaron Rodgers throws 30 more TD passes this year. He finishes with like 47 in 15 games or 16 games. I think Aaron Rodgers is, it's going to be hard to deny the fact. And you, I see it with Packer fans. So wishy-washy all offseason, Aaron Rodgers, get rid of him, get rid of him. One bad game, he's not focused. Seven good, great games in a row, Aaron Rodgers is back in everybody's good graces. It takes one decision.
You know what? I'll bring that question to you. As far as Aaron Rodgers is concerned, if he plays this week, is the Green Bay faithful going to boo him for what he did last week?
Stop.
I'm asking you a question. That's a logical question. That's an absolute logical question.
No.
Because of your vaccination status, you had to sit out a game. Jordan Love looked like shit, and we may not be the one seed anymore, ever. Like, that would not piss you off? As a fan?
I am a fan. I'm not pissed off. I mean, I'm disappointed at the situation, but I'm more disappointed in the entirety of the situation, more so than his decision. Aaron Rodgers didn't sign up to be an activist. He's a football player. He got COVID. So the reason why he's even having to answer these questions is because he fell in that position. It's not like he did what, and I'm only comparing Kaepernick because Kaepernick made a decision. You see these things being posted, like the same people that were bashing Kaepernick aren't saying the same thing about Rodgers. Well, it's like true, but the same people that supported Kaepernick, right, are the ones bashing Rodgers. So it's a two-way street. And the thing about the difference between the two is Kaepernick decided that he wants to be an activist. He took the knee, right? Aaron Rodgers, just playing football, got COVID. Since he got COVID, then had to be faced with all these questions, answer them honestly. And it's just like, whoa. You know, I'm being honest, but I'm not here to spearhead the whole anti-vax movement. I'm just here to play football. I'm going to get back to doing that. And that's what we should do, just watching football.
Did you by any chance catch the Kaepernick Netflix thing?
No.
Yeah, I won't be watching that. I mean, that's just me. I don't think it's worth my time. It might be, you know, it might be cool.
I'll watch it because I think it's good content. I think it's good to talk about. Even though I don't
do without
it's very alienating to talk about the whole vaccine and the Kaepernick situation, but it's tough because we're in a situation where we need to talk about things like that. And
if you avoid it, you're not talking what's prominent right now. We can talk MVP race all day long, but at the end of the day, like, you know, the show will end and people are like, I can't believe they didn't address this.
Look,
you know,
I have a hard time. And there's a lot of back and forth in my own head about what I'm willing to say about the way I feel about things and not. And at the end of the day, we talk so much that it's hard for us to not just be consistent and be real. If somebody's not going to like me over my opinion on something, look, I'm kind of okay with that at this point, because what are we going to do? Like, I feel like I handle things.
Cater to everybody.
Yeah. I feel like I handle things with enough kid gloves, we'll call them, where I don't really offend either side. It's just my opinion on things. And if you don't like that, then oh, well.
That's where we're at.
Anyway, I feel like I'm just talking directly to Jimmy right there.
Speaking of Jimmy, ladies and gentlemen, as we start to wrap this show up, you can find Jimmy on November the 27th, right? Yes, November
27th. Thanksgiving weekend, that Saturday.
That Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend, he will be with Mike Marino, who I'm surprised we haven't really all that stuff. We should have. I've talked to him maybe once. Mike Marino and Jimmy Palumbo tag teaming up the Carteret Art Center?
What's Performing Arts Center or something? There
it is. So, well, we have a commercial. You'll hear it on this podcast. If you download it, you'll hear it. You'll hear Jimmy's luxurious voice. So go check out Jimmy. As far as the rest of the network is concerned, obviously you have the Till Mets Do Us Part. There's a lot of stuff going on with the Mets right now. That's why I kind of left it out of this podcast, because I know they're going to cover it like extensively, but there's a lot of guys declining qualifying offers. And then the Yankees have talked about Rojas being the new third base coach. So there's a lot of things going on. The winter meetings are going to start before you know it. And I guess they didn't really start yet, but things are happening in the offseason in Major League Baseball already. And I know we just crowned the champion. A lot of cool things happening for Atlanta, but this week it stops. It stops because they're playing the Dallas Cowboys. The Falcons are hopefully going to get starts there. But again, go support the network. Obviously Jack hit me up last night. As a matter of fact, he has some really awesome words to say about the network. He loves what we're doing. And of course he's, he wants to know about the YouTube sharing, this, that, and the third. Guys, if you know anybody that wants to advertise with Chop Sports, be sure to go, shoot me a DM, send me a text, whatever you have to do. The Chop Sports network as a whole is growing. We're adding, I believe, one new show, coming up soon. Well, two new shows if you count Scoop, because he's brand new too. So two new shows to the network. We're almost at my goal right now is to hit 50,000 downloads. I know it's just an arbitrary number, but that's where I want to be at the end of this year in our first year of operation. Technically, that wouldn't fall until January, February, but at the end of 2021, that's where I want to be. So spread the love, spread the word about Chop Sports, chopsportsmedia.com. That will also be under a little construction going forward. We want to make some facelift and changes to that. That's awesome. Whoever this is, I think it might be Jack. Talk to my boss. Maybe my company will be interested. That's awesome. Yeah, that was Jack. So yeah, man, obviously there's a lot of advertising to do over here at Chop Sports. So we want to thank our current advertisers for doing what they do. A lot of crazy things coming up. Move-in day for Joe Bizzamenti coming up. Move-in day for the Sauce Network coming
move
up.
Move-out day for Skeetovich.
Move out day for our acupuncturist. Thank you. Thanks, Gooch, for giving me that responsibility the night before my son was born, by the way.
Like, yo, there's definitely Cold War vibes going on in the studio right now. Zero words have been spoken. Dude, I nervously waved yesterday and she didn't even wave back. So I was like, all right, get a flat tire on the way home.
It's like your text was great, but that was it. Like, I hope she gets a flat on the way home. And I would almost say karma, but then I'm like, well,
minor inconvenience. I don't want anything bad to happen, but I wouldn't mind a puncture.
What's today? Right, Wednesday. Rear tire. Not even there, right? Like,
no, that's why I could speak freely. You hear I'm talking shit openly,
which is half the reason why we're getting rid of her anyway. We can't do our thing on Tuesdays and Thursdays because she's got people snoozing in her office. Like, you can't be too loud. You know, you can't be yourselves. You can't record a podcast. You can't.
Like, where she lights a witch holistic campfire in her fucking room. I'm so what is that smell? Right? You have one of those. What are those things called?
Where incense?
The witches kind of just stir the
cauldron.
What the fuck is going on in there?
Human it was sacrifice. Cupping. Human sacrifice is happening. While it was a luxury to have an acupuncturist eight feet away, and I did do one time, and I did feel good.
You know, it's a bigger luxury to have our fucking office back and her still be 16 feet away across the fucking hall, out of my sight. And sense of smell,
which is brew. Somebody chimed in. So anyway, that is the haps of Chop Sports and the studio. Can't wait until what is this? When Ashmere Fit is established, I like to advertise. Yeah, I mean, didn't you get that lump sum of money, Ashley? It's time to spread the love. So do that. And so support the network, support the brand, keep sharing all our stuff, keep liking us. Oh, we are about 8 followers away from 1,000 on Instagram. I know it sounds such a small number and not, this is just minuscule, but hey, listen, everything counts, man. Everything counts. So, first search, and Gooch. This has been the Hump Day edition of the Chop Sports Daily, live from the Mattawan. Yeah, we're in Mattawan. Live from the Flipping Made Easy Studios in Mattawan. Tomorrow, Week 10 begins. We have some Thursday Night Football featuring another banger of a game on one side. We all get to watch Lamar Jackson beat up on the fish. And I know this has been a trend all week. It's sad. And maybe we should all root for the Dolphins in memory of Baby the Counterfish Gucci. I don't know. And it's nothing against
Jack. We're not going to do our boy Jack like that. He's about to go out there and advertise for us. So this be is more true. All day, baby.
Let's go Ravens. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Also, I'm only 920 followers away from 1,000 on Twitter. So if you want to go jump over there and be one of my 2 retweets and 2 likes.
I try my best.
For 3. Bro. It's like Dina and Ash.
I try my best.
Gabe will throw me a bone once in a while.
Come on, I'll retweet your shit all the time. What are you talking about?